And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the debut episode of Viva La Candice with Candice Keita.
Hey, Michael, how are you?
I'm awake.
I know, me too. What are you talking about? You're 3 hours advance from me. So what time is it over there? It's 8 o'clock here.
It's official time is 11:12 a.m. over here in the D.C. metropolitan area.
What time did you go to bed last night?
I don't know. I think one. Well, no, crashing. I went to bed at midnight Eastern time, but I couldn't fall asleep until like one.
Got it.
So
that's why. Because it's on a Friday night and you stayed out late or something. And that's
no,
why.
Actually, I didn't. So I actually, so I run txhdhockey.com. I guess we're going to do my introduction first and not and then yours. So I run txhdhockey.com. And I actually have to do a daily every day during the NHL season that covers all the games. And last night, there are only three games. Two start at 7:30 p.m. Eastern time. One start at 9 p.m. Eastern time. And the 9 p.m. game was the last game to end. It ended maybe a few minutes before midnight.
Yeah.
So I just finished typing up the game. And then I did the sharing description, the SEO description for the daily. And then I just scheduled it to go out at 8 o'clock a.m. here, 5 o'clock your time. And so that's what I do. I do it every day. I'm going to be working on it. After we're done with this, I'm going to edit the episode and, you know, and then go right back to working on hockey stuff. So it's just a never-ending process.
Yeah, no, I've seen it's so professional. I love all your stuff that I've seen for the
Yeah, and then not only that, but Podcast Wives, TXHT does have a podcast. I just don't do it as often as I'd like to. Mm-hmm. I do Awesome Mania, which is a pro wrestling podcast, which is actually a, which is jokingly called the spinoff of our panel that Ben Taylor and I do at Awesome Con in Washington, D.C., which is the longest running panel of the convention. We're the only panel to actually appear at every year of Awesome Con.
Awesome.
And then I do Power Dorks, which is a Power Rangers podcast with my friend Ed Prince-Dares, who's actually also out in California. And I do Nerdy Notions with my friend Sasha Kaplan up in Boston. And I do The Experience, which you appeared on almost 5 years ago now.
I don't even remember. That's crazy. Now, wait, and, you grew up on Power Rangers.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm 33. And I think I was like 7 when I was about to turn 7. I was 6 years old.
Oh my gosh.
When Power Rangers debuted in August of 93. And then I turned 7 like obviously a few months later cuz I'm an October 1st birthday.
So you were the perfect demographic at that time to watch the show. So tell everybody how you and I met.
So do we want to do the abbreviated version of the story and not the full version?
Well, you do the abbreviated and then I'll see if I can add to it. So go ahead.
Okay. So you and I met at Power Morphicon 2016. Shout out to Scott Zillner.
Oh, hey, Scott, if you're listening.
Which he does an amazing job with Power Morphicon. I can't wait to go back if I can ever get to go back. That's a story for another day. But I was there. I was doing my podcast, The Experience. I was covering the con. I was doing a bunch of interviews with a bunch of the people from Power Rangers, and I got to interview you. But there had to be a buildup to finally get to interview you, though, due to somebody not taking the hint that he had to move because there's other people in line. But yeah, that's essentially how we met. We did the interview and.
Well, no, I think you helped me in the parking lot.
Yeah. Well, I'm giving the abbreviated version. I wasn't going to go for. Okay. So you want the full story, and you're perfectly okay with me telling the full story, correct?
Yeah. You were walking.
Okay. So I have for those who don't know, I have Asperger's. So I have a very good memory on this stuff. So I came to your table initially to meet you and ask you if you wanted to do an interview, get your autograph, stuff like that as part of my coverage. But there was an attendee who was holding up the line. And so I went, you know what, let me just come back. Let me just do another round and then I'll come back. When I come back, he's still there. And I can tell that you're a little uncomfortable. And so I kind of finally said something like, hey man, there's other people in line who like the meter, you know, can you go? And he leaves, but he forgets his autographed photo. And so then I ask you, hey, is it cool if we do an interview? You said, yeah, we do the interview. You actually did sign a hockey card for me, which I actually still have that today. And then you actually needed to go somewhere. So you actually packed, I helped you pack up and then walked you to your car and helped you pack up your car. And so you can go to where you had to go.
Yes, I was so appreciative because I remember there was so much junk that I was carrying, and where the Pasadena Convention Center is, where that convention is compared to where the parking lot was. And we had to go down that flight of stairs.
Then we also had to go past like an ice rink or something.
Yeah, it was like this whole long thing. And I was like, thank you so much for helping me with all this junk. And then you helped me. And there was no elevator. So you had to carry all the stuff down the flight of stairs to the parking structure. And I was always appreciative of that and helped me load it up.
Yeah, and like for me, carrying stuff up and downstairs is not a big deal because I play ice hockey. So I'm kind of accustomed to having to do that from time to time.
Oh, that's so funny.
So it's like, oh yeah, there's an ice rink there. And I'm carrying essentially an equipment bag these stairs.
Plus a banner, plus all this stuff. And I was like, thank you so much.
Yeah. But also there was the concern about that one attendee too at the same time, because he couldn't take the hint.
Well, I appreciate it. I really do.
Yeah. And that's unfortunately sometimes a downside to a convention. There's some people who just don't take a hint. But I think since 2016 to now, awareness on that type of stuff has gone a lot better.
It really has. And what I think is neat about Polymorphicon on the whole is when we were there, there weren't as many people. Now, I mean, Scott Zillner has done such a great job. They have people flying in from Tokyo and Japan and Australia and the UK, and they have people all over the world literally coming to Polymorphicon now.
I think 2016 was the first real year of that too, because that's when he brought the Jew Rangers.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he had the Jew Rangers, which is obviously, for those who don't watch Power Mighty, that Jew Rangers, the Sentai that Mighty Morphin Power Rangers is actually based off of.
Mm-hmm.
So Power Rangers, each season or series, is based off of specific Sentai. It's where they get the footage from, and the outfits, and the monsters, and stuff like
that.
Right. So for those who don't know that, you should listen to Power Dorks with Ed Prinstairs and I, because we break down every single episode. And how we're going to get through all 900 plus episodes is beyond me. So...
No, wait, so all the seasons of Power Rangers, including like Zeo and when they shot New Zealand and all that, it
amounts to
900 episodes?
Yeah.
How many years?
I think this is, I know they just did 25 recently. So I think we're on like 26 or 27 now. Because I know 2014 Power Morphicon was when they unveiled the Super Mega Force Rangers to be, that's when they unveiled the Mega Force Rangers who were going to go into the 20th anniversary of the show. And then 2006, that's when the Mega Force Rangers introduced the Dino Charge Rangers, because 2016 was when the Dino Charge Rangers introduced the Ninja Storm Steel Rangers.
You need to put this on your Power Ranger podcast
too. It's going to be on the Power Ranger podcast.
Somehow we ended up talking about Power Rangers. I mean, seriously, to me, it seems like yesterday. That's what's so weird.
One of the reasons why is because, you know, we bring a Power Morphicon is like, well, you technically have ties to the franchise because of a show that you did back in the 90s, which was Masked Rider.
Yeah, what's really neat is every time I've gone to those Power Morphicons, it's like a homecoming. Everybody knows everybody, and it's like a reunion. And it's so neat just to go from booth to booth and see all the people. Like Michi Yamoto, for example, was the stunt coordinator on our show, right? And he was also a stunt coordinator on Big Bad Beetleborgs, and also, wasn't it VR Troopers and Power Rangers? So there's a lot of crossover between the shows of all the people that we've worked with. So it's really great to go. And Scott Page, I don't know if you know him, he did all the dubbing and the ADR for all the shows. So all of us, and he was executive producer. So all of us from all the shows know Scott. So when we go, it is like a huge reunion and catching up with people and their families and their kids and what everybody's doing. And it's really neat.
Yeah. And it's like, so it's just like a very interesting, like how at the end of the day, everything just kind of links up with each other.
Yeah. Cause a lot of people don't know, like you watch Power Rangers or you watch VR Troopers. A lot of people don't know that the people behind the scenes, the executive producers and the directors and all the people that are making that show cross over. They all cross over between all these shows. Like our show, Power Rangers, the director, Worth Keeter, for example, directed Beetleborgs, VR Troopers, Power Rangers, our show. And even, I don't know if you remember Sweet Valley High.
No, I don't remember. I don't remember that one.
So anyways, that they used, it becomes like a family where they use a lot of people behind the scenes, all the stunt guys for all the shows.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I know as a kid, obviously I grew up with the 80s Turtles cartoon.
Oh yeah.
Power Rangers, Batman, the animated series. Gargoyles, the 92 X-Men animated series. I had a whole bunch of that. I grew up with Garfield and Friends, man.
Oh, yeah, totally. Or what is it, the Bugs Bunny Hour? Bugs Bunny Roadrunner Hour on Saturday morning?
Yeah, something like that. Tiny Toons.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I think I was like 10 or 11 when Pokemon finally came over here to the States from Japan.
Uh-huh.
So...
yeah, that's when the Pokemon cards were big, when you were like 6 or 7.
No, Pokemon was like a few years later. I was like maybe 10 when that finally came over.
Oh, okay. When the cards.
Yeah, when the cards and stuff finally came over. Because that was like, so Power Rangers came out in like 93. And Pokemon was like 97, 98, I believe. I don't know. Somebody will go, you got that wrong. It was like some other year. Oh, like, no. I was like, calm down. It's cool, kid. I don't know anything. I don't have Wikipedia or anything in front of me. I have photos for Golden Globes and stuff like that we're going to talk about later, but I don't have Wikipedia up in front of me. But
I honestly have the Golden Globes, 2020 out in front of me right now.
But we'll get to that in a moment. Because it's funny, we did more of an intro on me. We haven't actually done an official intro on you. And this is your show.
Yeah, well, I guess, you know, what we were talking about is that, you know, I was an actor a long time ago in a show called Masked Rider that was a spinoff on Power Rangers. And I wasn't going to even introduce myself that way, but I thought I might as well because you have your Power Rangers podcast. And that's how you and I met all those years ago by coincidence at Power Morphicon when I was there for the show Masked Rider, which was a spinoff, right? And I just, you know, what is it? It's 8:30 Los Angeles time where I live right now. And I'm an actor living in LA.
Yeah. So. But you've also done other work. Like you, work with Viva La Glam.
Yeah. I mean, I've been an actor for a long time. I've done a lot of, series recurring. I was recurring on a show called Son of the Beach and recurring on a show on ABC, Complete Savages, and just, you know, a lot of guest stars and all that. But I was an editor for 8 years for a magazine here in Los Angeles, Viva Glam magazine, that is based on, it's a women's lifestyle magazine, based on, you know, fashion and beauty and fitness and fun and food and just lifestyle. So I did that for a really long time. So, and then one of the reasons why you and I are talking today, actually, is I have a movie that came out yesterday in the theaters. It's in select release. So please, if you have time for the next 2 weeks, try to go and see it. It's called Reality Queen. And it's a lighthearted spoof, I'd say, in the vein of movies like Best in Show, Waiting for Guffman, the Zucker and Zucker Brothers Airplane series. It's a spoof on social media influencers and their effect on society today. So I think you'll really like it. It's got Denise Richards in it. Mike Tyson has a part. The late John Witherspoon, who is such a great actor from the Friday series, who I had actually worked with before on the Wayans Brothers a long time ago. Worked with him on this show, a reality queen. And then, of course, Dua Mua, who plays my sister, Clark Kim, in the movie, is one of the main characters now in the new Disney Mulan. He plays Po. So that movie is coming out soon, the live-action Mulan from Disney, and he's one of the main three characters in the movie.
I'm not going to lie. They have Donnie Yen in the new live-action Mulan.
I know!
And I am a diehard Donnie Yen fan.
Yeah.
Okay, so fun fact. Did you ever see Ip Man?
No.
Okay, so in the first Ip Man movie, the fourth and final one just came out this past December. In the very first Ip Man, it's about World War II and, you know, how Foshan became Japanese occupied during World War II. Uh-huh. And there's a scene where one of Ip Man's, who's played by Donnie Yen, friends is killed by a Japanese, like, officer, which the general got really mad about. This incensed or upset his character to where he goes, I want to fight 10 men. And they're like in a dojo, mm-hmm. doing like fighting exhibitions for the Japanese general's entertainment. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I want to fight 10 men. And he just takes them all out. It's a great, great fight scene. Now, did you see Rogue One?
Yeah, no, I know he's in Rogue One. I mean,
So that scene in Rogue One where Chiwetel Ejiofor, also played by Donnie Yen, he takes out all of those stormtroopers.
Blind, yeah.
That is the Easter egg to Ip Man.
Oh, you're kidding.
To that fight scene. So if you watch the Ip Man versus 10 Japanese soldiers.
Yeah.
And then Chiwetel Ejiofor versus the stormtroopers.
Same thing.
It's not exactly the same thing because Donnie Yen likes to change the fight style for every single movie that he does.
Uh-huh.
But it's the essence of he's taking on like 10 stormtroopers compared to like when he took on those 10 Japanese soldiers.
Oh, how interesting. It's so funny that you mentioned Easter eggs because, now we're going to segue into Star Wars really quick. But my friend Martin is from Texas and he's a huge, huge Star Wars fan. So when Star Wars Land opened, he flew out here so we could go together. So we left at 4 o'clock in the morning to stand in the line at the Disneyland parking lot at 5:30 in the morning to be able to be the first in line to get to Star Wars Land. And long story short is we spent 8 hours alone in Star Wars Land and he knew every Easter egg that's in the park because apparently there are, he said, do you notice the numbers 77, 82 and something else on the top of that X-Wing fighter, and I said yes, and he goes, that refers to the years that the first three movies came out. Like he saw Easter eggs all over that park that I would have never seen. So it was neat getting to go with somebody who totally knows Star Wars.
So the nerds like us will always try to find that stuff.
That's why he's there. That merchandise. I mean, we had a great time, and he's coming back for the okay, so Rise of the Resistance. It's the 17th of this month, right?
I believe so. I don't keep track on the parks because I really don't go out to the parks.
Yeah.
Because it's expensive.
It is very expensive. I was really surprised at that. But yeah, he's coming out for Rise of the Resistance. But yeah, like you said, all the Star Wars nerds know every single thing that there is to know. And there's a lot of Easter eggs. If anybody's interested in Star Wars Land and you're a big fan, there are a ton of Easter eggs that are hidden and embedded within that park.
Yeah, and to anyone who gets upset by us calling you nerds, we're nerds too. So just embrace it. Just embrace it.
Yeah, I want to get a shirt that says nerd. So I'm very proud to be a nerd.
Like, I mean, I wouldn't be doing the Experience, which is my convention-based podcast, which is the podcast you appeared on. if I wasn't a nerd. I wouldn't be doing Nerdy Notions if I wasn't a nerd. I wouldn't be doing Power Dorks if I wasn't a nerd. I do TXHT, the Experience Hockey Talk, all this hockey stuff because I'm a nerd for hockey. You know, I'm a nerd for pro wrestling. It's like, we're nerds. Just embrace it.
I know. You've got to send me a link to the other podcast because I want to see what we said.
You want to know where you can find it?
Where?
Just go to txhthockey.com/x75productions because that's not only where you'll find Viva La Candice, but you'll find all of my other works as well, along with the hockey coverage I do.
You got to send me the link because I'll read it and I'll repost it.
It's called We're on a Podcast and We Have to Do Verbal Promotion.
No, I know. You and me. Later, email me the link.
And I'll do that. But
and see what we said.
But for Reality Queens,
yeah,
That's out in select theaters right now.
Yeah, it came out yesterday.
Yeah, so people go look up on Fandango, AMC, Regal, whatever you use to look up your movies or buy your movie tickets.
And
look up Reality Queens and go see that in the select time. And then obviously we'll be talking about in the future about it coming out to a full release or Blu-ray DVD release.
Well, it's going to go on demand. I know that. And how I found the times for my area was Googling it. And I just put in Reality Queens movie times and it showed up. So we were going to go yesterday because that was the opening day. And then we were unable to. So we're trying to go sometime next week.
Yeah.
So, but I've already seen it. I went to the premiere and it is pretty funny. And you've seen the Airplane movies, right?
Oh yeah, I have the first one.
Okay. I think 1 and 2 are awesome. So it's like that. It's spoofed. And so if you want just a light-hearted comedy to just not think about anything of all the seriousness that's going on in the world today, I would say this is definitely a movie that you would want to go to this weekend just for fun.
We need to get me in a film like that, just a spoof. That would be fun.
I know. Spooks are fun, and it's something that you can use to just escape from the reality, you know, of every day. I play a social media influencer that my character was originally 350 pounds, which you'll see in the movie where I'm in kind of Rick Baker style prosthetics and makeup that took 6 hours to achieve. And then the character loses weight on a reality show and becomes a social media influencer. And
right.
So then she tries to, you know, take over, you know, being reigning queen of social media. And that's where the spoof is.
Yeah. And if anyone ever sees like, and I know a lot of the social media influencers are really like Instagram today.
Yeah.
Like if you look at my Instagram, there's no social media influencing at all with my Instagram account. Like you see my Instagram.
Yeah. But it's more just, you know, it's just for us, it's fun, but other people, it is a means of business.
Well, I use it to just promote the website's articles as they come out. Sure, I miss a few here or there because I might just be busy or, you know, 8 a.m. I'm sleeping, but, you know, but like, I know, like when I do, like when this episode gets published live, like it'll get like the show logo will get put up onto all the social media platforms that I use.
Right.
Which is funny because the logo, which if anyone's looking, well, obviously you have to, because you have to be on the website to listen to this episode. Because we don't do SoundCloud or anything like that anymore. It's everything's hosted for the website directly. The logo that we have for your show is actually technically from Reality Queens.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. So you know the one where it's the picture of you and then it has like that little whiteboard behind you where it says like something about being ugly or something like that.
Oh yeah. The joke that's
so,
the Chrissy Kim character. Yeah.
I sent that picture
that you gave me
mm-hmm. and I sent it to my graphic designer for the website. And I said, hey, can you make something like this and have it say Viva La Candice with Candice Keita?
Uh-huh.
And he goes, sure. He just wipes out all the text.
Yes.
And just puts it in. And I'm just like, screw it, we'll go with it. And then he did one where he removed the picture of you, and there's actually a picture of me in front of a green screen, which was perfect for him.
Oh, that's
because I usually will do like hosting and stuff like that occasionally for like public access television over here, as I actually live in Maryland, so I live right outside DC. So I'll do like some public access TV hosting every now and then, and there is a really good picture of me in front of a green screen that my friends have had a lot of fun with. And he took the picture of me and he took the picture of you out and he put me in there.
Oh, that's funny.
So it's like, it's the show of, it's like your show, but it's just me. There's no you. It's like, I'll have to send that to you. I think I have that still saved.
Oh yeah. No, email it to me. I totally want to see it.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's, so there's a little Reality Queens tie in to the Candace Keita show, for here with your logo.
That's funny.
But speaking about film, stuff like that, and you talked about going to the premiere, that's a great way to change the topic, because obviously something that you're very familiar with, I am not a fashion person. So we're gonna get you into fashionita Keita mode right now.
Sure.
As we talk about the 2020 Golden Globes red carpet, we're not going to talk about the awards itself, because honestly, the only two things that I took out of it was Ricky Gervais's opening monologue and Tom Hanks's award acceptance speech. Outside that, I don't know. I really don't watch awards because hockey's going on.
Right, right. So, well, but speaking of Tom Hanks, you know, one of my great people that I looked up to most of my life, way before this movie, has been Mr. Rogers, Fred Rogers. And I did see this movie, but I think he's such an amazing person, and I'm so glad that people are finally taking notice now. I think there was a generation that grew up with Fred Rogers watching as a child, and now as adults, we're looking back to his belief system of compassion and empathy, acceptance and love to people, and seeing it as adults and seeing how we can apply that to our lives. Not that I would ever say anybody is a saint, but if there was an exceptional example of what it is to be human, I would say it was Fred Rogers.
Oh yeah. And like, I grew up with Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, Sesame Street, you know, growing up. Yeah.
So. But even today, I mean, I've seen so many Mr. Rogers documentaries. My partner Doug and I went, saw the Mr. Rogers movie. And just, you know, very, very happy to see that somebody is, or people are, the attention is going back to him again.
Oh, yeah. It's like, you know, let's put it in perspective like this. Fred Rogers passes away and then decency starts going away.
Yeah.
George Carlin passes away and nobody, and everyone now gets offended by everything.
Isn't that funny?
It's a tale of irony.
Yeah, yeah. And that goes for Don Rickles too, when Don Rickles passes away.
Yeah. You know. Well, I think, George Carlin, I would probably put in a higher perspective than Don Rickles. Nothing against Don Rickles. It's just that George Carlin, like, honestly didn't care. He was going to tell you how it was. Mm-hmm. And if you got offended by it, then that's your problem, not his. Yeah. And since Carlin's passed away, I think it's been like a decade since he passed away.
Wow.
And if you look at what's happened in the past like decade, you know, it's gone really, you know, like downhill, because like the PC community is so high.
Mm-hmm.
Like the cancel culture, we're offended by everything. And I think that was kind of the point of Ricky Gervais's opening monologue in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Was like, because he kept saying, I don't care. Well, like, if you don't care, don't be there. But I also kind of get the point of what he's saying too.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's gotten to a point where it's like, Jerry Seinfeld has openly said that it's hard to do comedy today because of it.
Well, sure. I think what comedians do is that they are a reflection of society and truly say what's going on in everybody's mind that people don't want to say. People are thinking the things that comedians will say out loud, but nobody else will verbally say it. And that's what makes comedy.
Yeah. And then to quote George Carlin, nothing is sacred in comedy. Everything is available to make fun of.
Yeah. Where in true society, it's not necessarily the case.
Yeah. So, all right. Red carpet, Golden Globes, 2020. So where would you like to start? You're the fashionita of the two of us because you know this stuff so much better than I. I look at all this stuff and I go, this is way too much. Why can't I just show up in a t-shirt and blue jeans?
I know. Well, you know, actually one of my girlfriends, she's the editor-in-chief of IndieWire. Goes every year. And she said, speaking of t-shirt and jeans, she goes, you know, and she's very tall. She's almost 6 feet tall anyways. And so I said, you can get away with this. But this year she went in a long evening gown and she wore Vans tennis shoes.
And, the skateboarding shoes. Yeah.
Yes. Glittery Vans tennis shoes. And her mother was, you know, appalled.
Okay. Hold on. Time out. Yeah. Vans are not tennis shoes. They are skateboarding shoes and BMX shoes.
Got it. Okay. The skateboarding shoes.
Take it from me because I wear Vans.
Got it. she loves them. And so she wore them on the red carpet for the Emmys. And her mother was just absolutely, you know, aghast at it. But she goes, you know, there's a point when people don't realize that when you're covering the Emmys, she was there for 14 hours. At literally 14 hours. And she said that, you know, that in the Academy Awards, it's a huge, long, exhausting day. And she said the only way that she was able to do it this year was to wear, like you said, skateboarding shoes like Vans. And so she did. And I said, let it be a fashion statement because, you know, if other people can wear like a black Gap shirt with a long evening gown, Sharon Stone did that one year at the Academy Awards, then you can wear a long evening gown and Vans. So,
yeah. So like throw this out there. I don't own a pair of sandals because I hate open toe shoes or whatever, stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
I have one pair of like running shoes that I use that I wear when I go out for like walks.
Uh-huh.
All I really wear are tactical military boots and Vans skateboarding shoes.
Oh, that's funny. Well, I love Vans. I was actually looking at Vans early this morning on Poshmark, and they even have like collabs with like Hello Kitty and
Oh, yeah. Vans. Yeah, they've been doing a lot of collaborations lately.
Yeah, and I had no idea. I just, you know, I remember the Vans. First time I saw them was Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Yeah, with the skateboarders and stuff.
The black and white checkered ones.
Yeah, you're thinking about Converse. You're thinking about Chucks.
No, not the really? Chucks. Yeah, because they are specifically Vans. They're black and white checkered, and they're worn by Sean Penn in Fast Times. Just take a look, because that's
what I got to go back and watch Fast Times at Ridgemont High then.
Yeah, those aren't Converse and shoes, and you know, he was like a skateboarder and a total stoner dude,
He plays Spicoli, yeah.
Yeah, totally, Jeff Spicoli, and he falls out of the van in the first scene in the parking lot of the school wearing those shoes.
Yeah, I'll have to go back and watch that. Like, I've seen Fast Times at Ridgemont High several times, and that's something I never really noticed. But
yeah.
I also don't pay attention to people's shoes sometimes.
But. Right. It's maybe something that I just noticed. But that's the first time I remember seeing Vans ever, you know.
God. I started wearing Vans, I think, in high school. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, being an ice hockey player, I need to wear something that's going to be comfortable for me.
Right.
And, you know, boots was always something that I wore, but I always found that like Vans, like especially like with the comfort, like the thickness around the ankles, like now it's a lot thinner and I don't like it as much, but I guess they changed them to BMX shoes to have the more thickness around the ankles. I always found that had like the best like sole inserts that were the most comfortable for my feet, and they just like meshed really well with me. So and that's why I've been wearing Vans for like ever.
Yeah, no, they're so cool. You throw them in the washing machine and just like kids.
But like I actually wear Under Armour for my boots. So.
Oh, how funny.
Yeah.
So I think for the Golden Globes this year, what I saw were a lot of pastels. A lot of pastels, like, you know, periwinkle, pink, blush, a little bit of light reds. And I think it's kind of a canary yellows. And I think it's kind of paying an homage to upcoming spring. And like you said, we're going into, you know, this is the first award show of the year. Everybody gets excited. We're going into spring. Valentine's Day is next month. And I think it's everybody in winter thinking about spring. That's my assumption, because I saw so many of these colors, you know, just kind of like Kelly greens, light lavenders, Taylor Swift was wearing a dress that had flowers, brightly printed flowers. And so a lot of it, I think, is people looking forward to getting out of the snow and getting out of the, everybody except for Australia, right? Trying to get out of the cold weather.
Yeah, I mean, and what's going on in Australia is obviously no joke. That
no,
what's
not,
going on over there is very devastating. It's like,
it's terrible. I mean, it's really unbelievable, and I feel so bad. I saw some horrible photos that were posted online of koalas and kangaroos, wallabies, where they were they couldn't escape the fire, because people don't really understand how quickly fire moves, and you literally can't outrun it. So there's so many animals that I think are
they said a half a billion.
Billion, yeah.
Wildlife was and lost in Australia.
They don't even know how long it's going to take for nature to be able to, you know, get back on its feet again after the loss of so many animals. Yeah. It's horrible. And I don't know how they're going to contain it at this point.
And people say climate change isn't real. And I'm now looking at the photo of Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
And she's in a dress. It's a navy blue dress with yellow flowers.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it looks okay.
Ah, you're a guy. But, you know, also, I mean, she can get away with.
I love how you just go, you're a guy. It's okay.
Guys have no idea. That's another thing I always laugh at. Guys have no idea how long it takes a woman to get ready for the red carpet. And the fact that you have to teeter around on high heels the whole time you're there, and the guy gets dressed in a suit, brushes his hair, wears flat shoes, and gets to go. You know, it's a whole different, you know, it's apples to oranges. So you always have to appreciate the time and effort. If for a woman to go to the Golden Globes, it's, or any award show or any red carpet, it's kind of an all day deal.
Okay.
Get ready to go.
So let me ask you this. Since you mentioned that you did the the premiere for Reality Queens recently. Yeah. Did you have a red carpet for Reality Queens?
Yeah, we did. And same thing. I had to go get my hair and makeup done. And then I got a dress from a friend of mine who has a company, Cindy Day, who does Cindy Day Cohen, who does Moda Glam, which is another company where she designs long gowns. And so I had that sent over. And it's a big, you know, thing. And then even, you know, my partner Doug was like, you know, we should rent a car to go, which we did. And I was so glad, because then there were people waiting right at the car. And so that was a smart choice. And then we did the carpet. It's a whole deal. And then you go see the movie. You know, it's your day into the evening for sure. And yeah, it was the Cinerama Dome here in Los Angeles, which is a really neat big theater. So it was an exciting thing to see it up there. And the audience was packed with over 1,000 people. So yeah, it was great. And it's exciting, and it's, you know, a wonderful memory, but it is an all day deal for sure.
So I'm actually trying to look up the red carpet premiere for your movie.
You'll see it. It's under A Week in London.
Okay, A Week in London. Sorry, you can hear my typing.
Let me see if I can find it too. You know what? I'm online too right now. So hold on. A Week in London. Can you hear?
Yeah, I can hear you typing. Everyone can hear our typing. Ha 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 ha.
Ha ha ha. Let's see. Images. Let me see if I can find it. I can send you images later if you want. Oh, here it is.
Yeah, because I was trying to look it up.
There it is. London premiere.
One week. Okay, so it's called One Week in London premiere?
No, A Week in London.
Oh, A Week in London.
And I searched in Yahoo. I'm not searching in Google. So put that in there and you'll see me. And I'm in
Okay, there it is. I found it.
I'm in black dress. So that black dress was sent to me by my girlfriend Cindy Day Cohen. And then
That leaves a lot to the imagination there.
Oh, I know. It's one of those see-through dresses. I know. And then the hair and makeup was done by my girlfriend Melissa Rizzo. And then there's Doug right there. And then
what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to save the picture.
Oh, awesome. Yeah.
For everyone who's listening, what we're going to do is your premiere, we're actually going to do like a little photo gallery.
Oh, thank you.
So that way we can have that.
And I'm telling you, my hair never looks that straight in real life. Only with the help of somebody who's a professional can my hair look that straight. Because normally it's a disaster. So I look at this and I'm like, oh, I'm so thankful I went and got hair and makeup done. You know, but it takes all day. This is an all day thing just to go, to stand on the carpet for 20 minutes.
Now you had a dress that leaves a little note to no imagination here. This is where you're really going to come into play because I don't know any of this stuff. Like, do you know who the designer was for the dress that you were wearing for that premiere?
Yeah, I think it's Moda Glam.
Okay.
Moda, you know what it is? It is my girlfriend, modaglamboutique.com, if you're interested in that dress. Moda, M-O-D-A, glamboutique.com.
All right. And then Doug, he just kind of threw together a little outfit there, just, you know, dress shirt, dress pants, you know?
Yeah, he's wearing a jacket by Hugo Boss, and then he's wearing the Red Label pants by Hugo Boss. I remember, and then a white shirt with French cuffs by, I think, Hugo Boss. So I guess basically the whole outfit was by Hugo Boss. And that was a last minute thing too, because he was gonna wear a black jacket, and at the last minute, he found this blue jacket.
I like the blue on him better. Like, this is the one part where I can put in some fashion sense.
Yeah.
I like the blue on him, the blue looks good.
I think so too. Thank you. Yeah, he got this tailored too. It was a little bit bigger, and with the last minute, we got it tailored and ran and picked it up in time. So yeah. Usually he wears the black look, and he was more casual this time because he also chose not to wear a tie.
Yeah, I think he might have had his shirt buttoned a little too low, or I can't tell.
I can't tell right there. I'm looking at a photo right now, and another one I wanted to mention too is Glamorella Jewelry provided the necklace. Sherry Matea Welch from Glamorella, Glamarella, Jewelry provided that necklace. And I really want to say that too because they do amazing, just beautiful, beautiful, you know, individual one-of-a-kind pieces.
Right. And then I gotta write something down because I gotta make sure that I credit the right people for the photos, which is photos that we'll be posting are from, ironically, VivaGlamMagazine.com.
Yeah. VivaGlamMagazine.com, Glamorella with an A, jewelry.
Email me the information on the dress and the jewelry, and then I'll put those in there so that way people can know.
Yeah, if you just send me an email, that would be awesome, and I'll remember to send everything to you.
But you got to send me everything anyways, so.
Yeah, no, I know. And, you know, it's great because this is a way where a lot of times you can get help on the red carpet, that people will provide outfits for you because they know that their outfit or jewelry or shoes or accessories are going to be seen.
Now, question. Would I get castrated in the media for showing up in blue jeans and a t-shirt?
You know, it's
for a red carpet.
I think these days anything goes, but I think that you should show respect for the red carpet in the sense that I think you would want to look your best unless you are making some kind of statement. But it's like red carpet is kind of meant to be, you know, this is your chance to, put on the Ritz, so to speak.
So I'll throw this out there. I own dress shirts obviously for work, and uh-huh. I have dress work pants for work, because uh-huh. I always have to wear like a button down shirt and like nice slacks. But like I own a suit that's boxed up, and it only comes out for one of three things. And it comes out for weddings, funerals, and bar and bat mitzvahs. For those who don't know, my family's Jewish, so uh-huh. we get invited to bar and bat mitzvahs from time to time. Those are the only three things that it comes out for.
Well, that's fine. And then
I owed a pair of dress shoes that I've never worn.
Oh my gosh. But then, you know, if you go to a premiere, then you can wear your suit and your dress shoes. Michael, also, I just noticed the time. We've got to keep going.
Yeah. So with that, we'll talk more about, obviously, we'll talk more about red carpets, and we'll make fun of me and we'll criticize me thousands and thousands of times over, because it's fun. But real quick, as you mentioned, we're running a little bit short on time. So, Candace, where can the people find you on the social medias?
Oh, yeah. Definitely, I would say Facebook at Candace Kita. And then on Instagram at official_C_K_1. I know it sounds crazy, but just put in the name Candace Kita. There's also it's a little bit confusing. There's a young girl who lives in Oregon who also has the same name, Candace Kita. We've actually become friends. So you might accidentally get her. So just look to see. She is also Asian, but I want to say she's a teenager, so you can tell the difference.
And then you got Twitter too, right? Or you're not there as often.
At Candace Kita, definitely.
Yeah. And then obviously you can follow my exploits at txhthockey.com, Facebook at facebook.com/x75productions. You can follow me on Twitter at thelindenbaum75. Last name is spelled LINDENBAUM. Long German and Jewish. World War II was a lot of fun. You finally caught the joke. Instagram is at the Michael X75, but it's really just promoting everything that comes off the website. And Tumblr is x75productions.tumblr.com, I think it is. I don't know. It's something like that. And key source of everything will be txhthockey.com for me. That's where you can find all my content. So with that, Candace, I will let you close the show, because again, this is your show. I know debut episodes are always weird like this.
Now, well, Michael, thank you so much for having me on the show today. I'm so excited. I'll be at 8 o'clock in the morning, my time on a Saturday, but I'm very thankful. And if you can, you know, take the time to go see Reality Queens, it opened yesterday. It's going to be in the theaters for the next 2 weeks. If you have time, please check it out. And I look forward to you and I on the next one. So we can talk about Academy Awards, because I know that the announcements for the nominees are going to be this Monday. So that'll be fun to talk about, and other stuff going on in the new year.
All righty. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this has been the debut episode of Viva La Candace with Candace Kita. Until then, stay fashionable, people.